and mysterious panther.
You will never remember what he looks like. He will disappear from your mind as soon as you leave the room.
Awesome.
All right.
He's not allowed to exist.
Hello.
Are we starting?
I think we should. It's 10 minutes after we're supposed to start.
Oh, God.
So we're on time.
All right.
FST is in action.
Yes.
Standard time. Woo. Hi, everybody. Hello. We have an audience of hundreds here at OkuCon.
Might as well be hundreds.
All the ones that matter are here.
Yeah, very true.
Let's get the audience back.
We'll add that post. It's okay. We'll fix it in editing.
Always. We'll fix it. So, hello, everybody, to Knockcast Live, episode 197, at OkuCon.
Yay! Yay! Are we? I don't know if we're still. Are we calling this binder full of foxes?
We're calling this binder full of foxes.
Why not? Not again.
No, binder full of foxes is topical.
It's topical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, an ointment.
You get it all over your skin, and you wonder what it's good for.
And you're all greasy.
It's a showered off.
While you're crying, needing a cookie.
I want my milk.
Needing a cookie in the shower seems like a really rough proposition with a cookie.
Yeah.
It was a milk shower.
Oh, no, I'm not into lactation. The shower head is just one big teat.
Now, hey, I put horrifying out, so, you
commission
know.
Ideas.
We can do this.
Yeah, you and I laying on our backs, frolicking in the grass, Shiva on top of us, showering milk from our teats. That'll be our new show icon. iTunes will like ban us in a day.
Hey, that's one way to handle it.
I'll show you another after the show.
All right.
So if you're not familiar with us, are any of you actually not familiar with us?
Not familiar.
Not familiar? Okay.
So that was a rude awakening, then. My apologies.
Because that's pretty much the entire show right there.
We're done! Thank you! Yeah. Off to the next episode.
Then we table flip and walk out.
Yes. And then Panther comes and kills us and beats us for damaging the mics.
He cries silently as he's wrapping the cords around my throat.
Let's put it out there. Knockcast is a furry sex and relationship advice podcast in the vein of Savage Love. Because all of us have had long-term relationships and have grown up and dealt with some strange shit in our lives, we would like to help the younger generation of furries
Not be retarded.
In their relationships.
And hopefully when doing so, give a couple laughs.
While being funny, yeah.
Yes.
Because we're a bunch of dirty sons of bitches.
Indeed.
Furries
keeping it real.
Yes.
And nobody has to keep it take us seriously because of our terrible name.
Yes.
When are we serious?
We're talking about dog people fucking.
Yes.
That's our default definition of furry is dog people fucking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if the sociologists were here, they'd be kind of like,
this is what you don't want to do.
Hopefully one of them will show up and wonder what they missed. So the way the show works is people email us their questions.
Sometimes just tell us stories.
Tell us stories or ask advice or berate us for talking about something or another that we then go, ah! And
delete.
Move on.
Silly furry.
Yes, like here's one from Fuzzwolf talking about live show at OkuCon. I mean, what the hell? Why is that in my inbox?
Delete.
Archive.
But we've been at this for 5 years now.
We
coming up on what? Six at Fiesta?
Yeah, something like that.
No, it's 4 years coming up on five, because we started this the same year I bought for Planet. So that was in 2008 we started.
Yeah, but February 29th was our Genesis.
Yes.
Right.
Something around there.
So.
We've been at this a while.
This is episode 197,
I think.
Ooh,
almost to the number 200.
Yep. We're almost there. It's uphill.
I should check FAA.
What are you checking
out? Oh, but he's making sure that that is
I'm
the
terrible
actual
at numbers.
Episode.
You're a fox. It's okay.
Yeah. Foxes don't know math.
No, we don't.
Well,
though
you do
hey,
know relationship
good.
Algebra.
So while you do that, I'm going to read an email.
Okay.
Get us started.
Now, the subject line is, am I broken? Oh, so when I'm done one. Reading the email, we can all answer. And feel free to shout out the answer. It's either yes or no. I won't give you a hint.
Hey, Buckdown.
What's up?
Yes or no's are no fun.
Dear Notcast, as the subject line says, I want to know if there's something wrong with me. I am one of the few empathizers of James Holmes, the Aurora, Colorado theater shooter. I plan on dyeing my hair orange for Halloween and shaving it all off November 1st to look like his most recent mugshot. I also get offended when someone says something bad about him. There is more. I mean, you guys can answer now if you want.
Yes.
Yeah. I will continue to read.
This is 196.
We'll see if this is 196. Welcome to Dogcast 196, live at OkuCon. Woo!
Introduce yourselves.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
Because I don't think we did that the first time around.
Oh. No, we didn't, because we're bad.
So now, you know, knowing it's half the battle.
That's
so,
the fourth person.
Who is this guy?
I forgot you were there. I'm sorry.
Way to make me feel wonderful there.
Welcome talking to the yellow ball.
I'm Rakai. I'm a fan who snuck onto the table.
He's our mascot.
I bribed Saverin with sex.
Yep.
And it worked.
I can barely walk.
Your hips will feel better later. I'm going to continue with the email. We'll see if this guy can dig himself out of this hole. While I feel empathy for the victims, I feel more for James, and I don't know why. I usually don't feel a degree of empathy towards others who've committed similar acts. I don't feel for Tseng Hai Cho, the Virginia Tech shooter. He was someone with a history of mental illness and stalking who I think was a time bomb ticking to blow. I think we can agree with that. I don't have empathy for Anders Behring Breivik, the Oslo, Norway killer either. He was a terrorist with racist views. The only other shooters I have empathy for are Eric Harrison, Dylan Klebold, the Columbine shooters. I believe they were bullied into a corner and that there was only one way out. But back to James. He was a nice guy who was very highly educated with no criminal background. Something happened where he just snapped. Whether it was the stress of getting a PhD, financial woes, or maybe he was just lonely. He shouldn't be vilified for doing something we've all felt or said, I just want to kill everyone. So, Notcast, am I crazy for feeling the way I do? Sorry for the wall of text. Sincerely, Anonymous. P.S. If the speech will sound a little clunky, I apologize. I'm typing the thoughts as they come.
So,
discuss.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There's one thing to sympathize with an idea. There's another to sympathize with the guy who actually pulled out a gun and shot 16 people to death.
Yeah, ruined a lot of families.
He didn't shoot that many people to death, but he shot a bunch of people.
Yeah, you do feel that kind of crazy, you know, or anger and everything else, but there's other outlets for it. There's going to go see a shrink. There's a whole bunch of other outlets you can do besides ruining the lives of 16 people and all of their families. You took away husbands, sons, daughters from their family and just wiped them out of their lives. There's very little sympathy to be had for this basically taking an inappropriate outlet for your anger.
I mean, I want to kill Saverin and Shiva all the time, but you know, I can't do that until after episode 200.
I was going to say, I mean, we have a deadline to meet.
I've got a few more months.
I'll come hide you at my house.
Yeah, okay. For the emailer, yeah, I think you have some issues, and you need to probably seek help professionally on this. Because
like, Harrison and Klebold, they weren't bullied either. They were just crazies, too.
I thought they were bullied.
There's a lot of stuff that goes around there, but there's like lots of myths around that, and a lot of bullshit. But I think it basically boiled out that they weren't really bullies. They were just messed up kids.
And still, it comes down to going in and opening a fire on your high school. No matter how many people are bullied, doesn't make that an appropriate response in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I mean, shit. You know, I think everybody's had revenge fantasies where they kill the people that persecute them.
To an extent,
but there's a big difference between feeling it and then going and shooting them, knifing them.
Yeah. I could feel a little sympathy for someone whose mind just snapped and they did something really unfortunate, because that is a terrible thing to happen to someone, and it could happen to any of us. But I don't feel more sympathy for him than I do for the victims. And he shouldn't, like not be, you know, held accountable for those actions.
I mean, and even then, with the Aurora shooter, he had his place rigged up with explosives, so the police, when they went to check it out, would blow the entire block.
So, I mean, this was all premeditated. It wasn't like somebody just snapped and, you know, killed their podcast co-host or something like that.
I mean, if you want to talk about snapping, there was that one kid in Texas that just recently basically he got pulled out of school, was pulled into homeschooling, and then one day took a .22 and shot his sister and mom to death in their homes, and was kind of addled afterwards. Like, I don't know why I did that.
That's why you don't homeschool.
It's a good reason to. No, not too
many. Wait, wasn't Severin homeschooled?
That's why I'm over here.
And your sister is still alive, and your mom. What did you do wrong?
That's why I'm using Rakai as a shield.
I'm not that great of a shield.
There's not a lot of mass there.
You can cover my vital organs.
Maybe like one or two of them.
But my liver could stand to lose a few pounds anyway, so it's all
good. Well, in any event, that's really a fucked up thing to have sympathy for, but, you know.
And at least, you know, like...
At least you recognize that it is kind of messed up.
Yeah. If you have to, I mean, well, if you have to ask, then you probably have an inkling. And the first part of getting help is admitting that you have a problem. So.
Yeah. Are you broken? I think your sympathy is misplaced. Some sympathy, maybe, but not to that degree.
That's a little crazy.
Yes.
Is there another one we want to read? Or what do we want to do here?
I can read one.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see.
Episode 200, you could read an email from the future.
No. This one's titled Boyfriend Help. H-A-L-P. Hey, Notcasters. TJ here with another question. So, I'm in what we considered an LDR outside the fandom, as I've said before, about an hour 15 drive apart. But because of our jobs and lack of cars, his is unreliable according to his family, and I sure want my grandfather, so I can't keep it out for very long. So we try to talk often, and that isn't really an issue. There's one thing, conversation-wise, I have. How can I get him to stop responding with nothing when I ask him what he's doing? The main question I have is more asking for advice for him. He's not a furry, but I was hoping some advice could be passed on. He's constantly bored. He works at McDonald's, in a job he loathes, though it's a job, but has no friends. I've tried to find a meetup for him, but there aren't any in his area. He's about 45 minutes from Columbus, though, as I've said before, without transportation. I do keep giving suggestions, like reaching out to old friends and the classmates via Facebook, but he kind of chooses not to. Like, he just isn't doing it. Obviously, I can't make him, but it is frustrating. There are other things I've tried to do and say and suggest, but he doesn't do it. He just keeps bitching and whining and doing nothing. If there's any suggestions for the both of us, it would be a great help. He doesn't know I'm sending this in, nor will he hear it. But if there's anything else you could suggest to help, I would be very appreciative. Enjoy the rest of your evening and have fun at fall camp, TJ. Fall camp.
So,
this is camp?
It's like
I've had friends like this where there's nothing to do, you know.
You live in the age of the internet, there's always something to do.
So,
it sounds like he's just kind of given up. Because, I mean,
if I lived in rural Ohio and worked at a McDonald's, I might have given it too.
I mean, that's the problem, though, is that, he doesn't have a car, he works a shit job, and he doesn't have friends, but instead of doing something about it, dude's just given up. And there's only so much you can do to verbally twist somebody's arm into changing their life. And I mean, you've made all the right suggestions from the sound of it.
You can leave a horse to water, but you can't make him I was supposed to say drink, but suck cock. I don't know.
I've never had any problem with that.
No.
Personally.
We were trying to find a glue stick earlier, and all I could think of was that's a great euphemism for a horse cock.
If it's a glitter glue stick.
But it's a unicorn cock.
It's a sparkle pony.
So, you can only suggest so much. And you can keep doing it and try to find things that spark his interest. Maybe find things that you're into together.
Watching a show on YouTube. Playing a game over land. Start a Minecraft world. World of Warcraft is yes. obvious.
Yes. Getting on chat roulette, staring creepily at people.
Showing people your penis. On
fun for all the family.
I can't even show you on Skype.
Scaring people with creepy gifs on chat roulette.
So it's, I would say keep chipping away. And not only doing that, but find something you like, invite him to join.
Yeah. That could help. I'd also consider possibly looking for other relationships.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little too early to just say, fuck it, table flip, this is over. But if the guy doesn't want to help himself, there's only so much you can do.
I wouldn't even start going down that road yet. I would actually try to spark an interest. It could just be depression. When you're depressed, nothing sounds good. And it could be try to find a way to spark a little bit of life, you know, both in your friend and in general. So
they're also only an hour 15 apart, which is barely an LDR, which is long distance relationship. You know, a real LDR is pretty much when you have to get on an airplane. Mm-hmm. This is more that it is a local relationship with an inconvenient commute. And I would suggest finding a mutual friend to give one of you a ride to either the other's place or to a location somewhere else where you guys can, like, go to a movie together or something like that.
Well,
start spending some time together IRL, and that might actually improve your boyfriend's outlook on life.
I know he said he shared a car with his grandpa. Was it him or his friend that shared
the other guy, the boyfriend? No, he shares one with his grandfather.
He might want to see what kind of deals he can strike with his grandpa to borrow it for 3 hours, you know. Well, drive out there, have lunch, drive back.
Yeah.
Or see if you can do your grandpa a favor and borrow it for the afternoon. That kind of thing. Just
like, Grandpa, you're old. Watch your stories. I'm going to be back in a few hours.
Come back here, damn you!
Maybe see what kind of deals you can strike up. Maybe, I don't know, something similar.
Face-to-face time does help, and if you could do something like that, you might drag him out of his funk.
Yeah.
And maybe drag him back to your area and have him meet some of the people over on your side of Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Better just drag him back to your bedroom, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That'll give him a reason to live.
Maybe it could be something as similar as if he's got 2 days off in a row. See if you can borrow the car long enough to go out and get him, and then let him hang out with you for a couple days and make sure you can get him back in time for his work.
You know? I just keep thinking of the grandpa in The Lost Boys. They get in the car, they move it like 4 inches. It's like, that's as close to town as I like to get.
but things like that. See what you can do to bridge the gap. That's what I can think of.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Your turn, Shiva.
Oh, God, me
this
trying
one's
to read.
Full of words.
I'll find one that's short.
Well, don't read the one that says, please do not read on air.
Let's see.
Although we disagree.
That's the finale for the show.
We're going to read the email. We were told not to.
Well, here's kind of a follow-up to, we've been doing a couple episodes recently on books, especially books that feature gay, lesbian, bisexual characters in literature that's not necessarily furry fandom related. So this is a follow-up for that. Hello, Notcasters. This is Bookworm, one of your few probably listeners that is neither furry, at least not yet, nor young. I'm older than Savern, at least, from Germany. I was introduced to your podcast by a friend of mine who only came out to me as a furry and bi when he left for college earlier this year, though I had had my suspicions. And I have to say, your show has done a lot to undo the damage of years being on the internet has done to my perception of the fandom. Though I always had an open mind and danced on the edge of the fandom before actually having friends that belonged to it.
We're helping.
I'm writing as a response to the gay fantasy literature topic from last week. One book I can remember is Have Mercy by Jaida Jones. More spellpunk than your standard fantasy fare. think giant metal mechanical dragons powered by magic, fighting against a race that uses magic as artillery. It nonetheless features a very sweet male-male love story between two of the protagonists, and another one that is a bit of subtextual mutual crush. Using tools at my disposal as a library worker, I came across the Night Runner series by Lynn, Flelling?
Flelling.
The anthology series Wild Stories, and the Tony Foster novellas by Tanya Huff. Though I haven't read those myself, so I can't vouch for them personally. But last but not least, I recommend going to goodreads.com and searching for gay fantasy there for as any of the titles I mentioned, or for any of the titles I mentioned. There are quite a few lists out there that might help you find a gem or two. Personally, I know the feeling. I've often been browsing for a steaming read at the library, come to a book with a picture of a buff man on the cover and the promise of exciting, magical action romance sex, but then I read the description and come to the pronoun her and sigh. Mainstream romantic finish. Why are you so heteronormative? Oh, well, that's what the internet is for, I suppose. Gay and sometimes furry erotica. You're bookishly bookworm. So, yeah, a couple really good suggestions. Feel free for our listeners to keep chiming in. So,
gay books.
Yay, gay books.
Full of gay.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm sure you don't.
Rainbows, they just leak outside the books.
All right, so.
So, we've done a round here. I figure we're pretty warmed up. Does anyone from the audience want to step up to the beautiful Dogcock Red microphone and have a question?
You can ask us a question and we won't ruin it.
Come on down.
Alrighty. Hello.
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 Let's see here. I had a question. I just thinking about it for a while. I've been in the fandom for about a year. I've been through some dark times, and the fandom has actually helped me in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna leave it anytime soon. I'm definitely gonna stay in it. And I'm starting to do some relationship soul searching within the fandom. But I realize online relationships don't work well, especially when I met the guy I was interested in for the first time. 5 days, it felt good, but in the end, I work in the United States Air Force. I work overseas right now, and it's not easy going through a long distance relationship with somebody. And right now, I'm trying to go back stateside. I love America, of course. Or else, why would I be in the service?
Mm-hmm.
And I am thinking about meeting somebody I like stateside. I've actually never been in a real relationship before, so. What advice would you have for somebody who's inexperienced in love and relationships and also a furry?
Okay.
Basically. Okay. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Is the guy you're interested in also a furry?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it just feels safer just sticking with furries.
That does make it easier because there's a sense of, there's a common ground there that you can kind of build from. Mm-hmm. And for a long distance relationship or an online relationship, conventions make a really great excuse to see each other if you can get to them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's online, I would suggest meeting as soon as possible so that you know before you invest a lot of emotional capital into it whether you guys are going to have that spark in real life or not.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten emails in the past where people have known each other online for years and really thought they were going to click, then they get real life, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I've done that myself. You had someone that you were really kind of, you had a crush on, you meet them, and it just kind of fizzles in person. You still like them as a person, but there's not that spark where romance.
Yeah, I knew a guy for a year. Was just madly for him, was the first guy I actually pulled my heart out to, and I was like, oh my God, he's the one. My heart. Oh my God, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then when I meet him, it's like, yay, and oh.
Yeah.
What happened to all my puppy eyes and all my hearts and my eyes? You know,
yeah.
All that cartoon stuff. And
that's hard. That's why I think you want to meet early before you get that head over heels. But basically, I was in a... Well, my relationship was long distance. We've been together 11 years. The first 4, we were living apart. And this is true of any relationship, but especially long-distance relationships, is that communication is key. And you want, like, constant communication. We were on the phone to each other, like, at least 3 times a week or every other day. You know, calling every other night before bed, that kind of thing. Seeing each other as often as possible, even though, you know, the distance can be a little bit challenging. But, like, for spring break, he would come out to visit me. I would take a week off of work and go out there. This was about 1,000 miles apart, Texas to Florida. You know, and then after 4 years, it took the step, moved in together, and, you know, we were lucky. Things worked out because seeing a partner on a weekend when you're at a con or a week when you're on a vacation is very, it takes you out of, it's not really reality. It's not their, your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. So when you're living together, it's a very different thing because you're dealing with the stresses and inconveniences of everyday life.
Oh, going God, to, he didn't wash the dishes again.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go to work,
God,
go to school.
On the floor.
Maintaining the home. Does he have a an annoying habit you're not aware of, that kind of thing.
He keeps buying the wrong lube.
That could be a problem. No, don't use the spicy fire lube for anal sex. That's awful.
And we do understand, though, that in the military, some of this may not be as easy for you to do.
Yeah.
But it's
you have
a way
unique challenge there.
Mm-hmm. You know, once you're back stateside, you know, because if you're off serving elsewhere in the world, you know, it's probably a lot harder to call.
Yeah.
It is.
But, like, emails are cheap. And as long as, you know, your CO doesn't get grumpy about emailing people lovey-dovey stuff, mm-hmm. you know, you should probably be okay with that.
For what you want to look for in a relationship, and this is advice we've given time and time again, you want a friend. You want, yeah, they turn your head upside down and you love them to death, but you want a friend. You want someone who you can talk to, you want to hang out with, you want to spend time with, you want to do things with. That's, I think, the key to my big long-term relationships has been they're my best friends. And I like doing things with them. I like hanging out with them. I like just spending time, and I could spend hours and just bullshit with them. Mm-hmm. So as far as what you're looking for in a relationship, a first real relationship, you want your best friend. Mm-hmm. So start with that and then let things build from there. So you want something you have a lot of in common with. Mm. So,
and I'd like to add something. I mean, I'm also military myself, and I've tried to carry on long distance relationships. I've been overseas before, and it is very difficult. But Skype is your best friend. It's not that hard to get on most places. With my experience overseas, I know you can't always keep a steady schedule, but I mean, it's important to you have to try. I mean, even if it's just once a week, you really got to give it your all, and you've got to make sure that they understand beforehand that it's not always gonna be exactly this time this week.
And I carried on a relationship with someone overseas. My ex-husband lived in Sydney. And the time zone there is very different.
Oh, yeah, about usually good several hours.
Yeah, it's usually about 15 hours different. So we would only get to see each other, like, if I stayed up really late and he got up before work, we might have a little bit of time during the week. We would leave emails for each other before we went to bed so that when the person got up in the morning, they had something waiting for them. And we just told them about the average day. I did this. I did that. I'm interested in seeing this. So that's a way to just leave him an email for when they wake up.
Hmm. Every time he emailed from Australia was one day you knew he hadn't been eaten by koalas.
There, yes. Oh. So, yeah, there's tricks. So.
Yes. And is it all right if I steal the microphone a little bit longer? Just one more question. Is that
sure.
Fine? I am, somewhat of a sexually active person, but the thing is I'm very friendly, and I'd like to meet people and make real-life friends instead of just online friends. And the thing is, I'm trying to figure out in my mind the person I'm starting to have feelings for that I'd like to get to know more right now, and then lo and behold, there's this great person that comes in that I talk to, I chat, I enjoy. He enjoys me, I enjoy him, and it's kind of hard to differentiate. Is this just puppy love, or is this, what is going on with me? Why?
It can be both. I mean, it can start as puppy love and turn into something serious. You know, so there's person online. So you're saying if you've got a person online and if you've got a person in real life, yes, and kind of a conflict.
Kind of conflicting.
I would always lean towards a person who's kind of right there, just because. But do keep in mind that if it's someone in the military, you may get deployed away from them, and that would make things hard, too. So kind of just balance out, and there's nothing to say that if it doesn't turn serious that you can't keep talking with both.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, till things go serious, there's nothing wrong with dating casually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also one of those bird in the hand is worth two in the bush kind of situations that if you got someone there in real life that you can – hang out with. Like, not that kind of bush panther. Get your mind out of the gutter. This is not the OV Position podcast. You know, someone...
You did not bring the doorknob cane.
Hey, no ideas. He has a horrifying cane over here. But no, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you have somebody that's right there versus the online is kind of the unknown that you don't know whether things are going to work out or not. Yeah. You know, and yeah, dating casually, like Savard said, totally, that's fine as well. Until feelings coagulate more into a nice stew of emotion.
Now you're making me hungry.
Shiva's the cook. I'm probably mixing my metaphors horribly. But
slightly.
It's not generally an appetizing idea.
The stew has to rise like a cake.
So, yeah. But, yeah, feel free to also email us anytime and ask.
Yeah,
so.
I don't want to steal this H for it. So, okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Email time?
Oh, is there anybody else?
We have costumes now.
Yes.
Okay.
This right here is about long-distance relationships, correct?
Well, about
it's any. It's a relationship,
sort of relationship
podcast.
Thing.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I have a girlfriend. We've been together for about 5 years now, and I love her to death. She lives in California, though. I don't want to leave my family, and she doesn't want to leave hers. However, I can't stand the idea of not being with her. What should I do?
One or the other of you is going to have to bend.
Yeah.
Have you been out to see her?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all been to cons together and all that, spend time together, got to know
conventions, no, but yeah, we've hung out and everything.
Okay, that's good.
Started off, like, online, you know, a chat site, and it just went on from there.
It might, so I was... Yeah, you know, I was living at home in Florida, and my mom and my sister were my only family, and I was very, very close to them, and I also had a very active furry community there locally, and my long-distance mate at the time lived in Dallas, and he graduated with degrees in software engineering. There's a lot more computer software-related jobs in the Dallas area than there were in North Florida, which has a crap economy, so it was one of those... He could move because he was going to be able to actually find a career there in Dallas. So one of us had to make a decision or just call it off. So I took the plunge and said, I will move halfway across the country to move in with you and see if it works out. And it's one of those decisions that's really hard at the time because I gave up my job, all my friends and furry community where I was, and most importantly the family that I was really, really close to. But you'd be surprised how much what you can adapt to. And I do this a lot. I don't know if you do it, but I sell myself short a lot in how readily I can accept change in my life. That I don't like the idea to change. I don't like the idea of moving. Mm-hmm. But it's something that sometimes it's something you need to do, and you get used to it and you adapt. And, you know, I was calling my mom several times a week and, you know, going home for the holidays and things like that. So my relationship with my family changed a bit, but, you know, we were still family. We still love each other. And, you know, the benefit of being with my partner and building a life together and, you know, buying a home together is it was worth the risk, and it was everything that, not that I lost, but everything that changed was totally worth it for what I have now in my relationship.
Well, this right here actually happened to you then?
Yes. We were long distance for 4 years, and we've been living together for 7.
Well, it happened to you. It happened to me. I mean, I moved from New Hampshire to live with my partner in Indiana, and then we moved down here to Dallas. We both moved away from our families to for our mutual benefit. So sometimes you have to do this, and it's unpleasant, but it all depends on what you want in the end. I mean, do you want to pursue a life with this person?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they want to pursue a life for you, it's kind of weighing who has a better prospect of job, which area has a better economy.
Yeah, what's going to work better for you as a couple, as a partnership? And that's how you really need to look at it.
Yeah.
Texas has a pretty bitchin' tech economy. Sand.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for coming up. Okay. As always, anyone else want to step up, throw something in there?
Sure.
Come on down.
Come on up.
Thank you.
The microphone is gradually sinking into the sunset.
I've been listening to the show for a while, and I think that despite the silliness and the raunchiness, you guys really give some well-thought-out and level-headed advice to some really crazy situations that people send you.
Thank you.
I want to applaud you for that. But I guess my question is, what made you decide to do a relationship-themed podcast for furries specifically, and how did you first get into it?
Oh, that's a funny story. And this is... this is one of those situations where you never know what little thing is going to grow into something way, way larger.
And horrendous.
So this was a LiveJournal post I made.
I remember
and
that.
It was in February of 2008. And I was just making a silly joke. I was like, because I just heard other podcasts. And before us, there was Clawcast, which is another furry podcast. And I was like that whole body part podcast thing. And I was like, I want to make a podcast for canines and call it Knotcast. And that was just a silly joke because I was thinking felines would have barbcast and, you know, kangaroos would have upside down bollocks cast, you know, things like that. And then the following post, I was coming up with slogans for this non-existent show, like, you know, feeling tied up, not going anywhere for a while, things not related. And it was actually Savin's mate Panther who was like, you know, we could do this, right? Because he'd been doing various audio projects for a while, and he had microphones and mixers and stuff like that. And I had a server because I had recently bought a publishing company. Mm. So I was like, and I could host it on the server. So four of us got together in my bedroom, and back then we were all crowded around one big-ass Coke can microphone, like we were the Beatles or something, and it just sort of jammed, and that was episode 0, and we were like, this worked, let's just see how it goes, and we just started doing it, and, you know, the cast has changed up a couple of times since then, but here we are, you know, 4 or 5 years later, and it's still going, and I had been listening to Savage Love at the time, and there was a general furry podcast out there, so I wanted to put a spin on it. I wanted it to be, the other one was clean. I wanted it more adult because I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith, and I like that kind of raunchy humor and everything. Yep. So I was like, well, let's make it, you know, kind of sex advice cast for furries. And it just kind of came together very naturally like that.
Plus, it was something that we felt the community could use because so often you see these young furs that meet somebody on the internet go, oh my god, my one true mate forever, and make plans to move across the country to meet this person and live with them, and they've never met them, and they make all these stupid mistakes. And, you know, it makes...
We've made those mistakes.
A lot of us have made those yeah. mistakes. So we would like to pass on our own relationship successes and mistakes to the next generation and say, you know, this is what we've learned. Let's help you try to avoid this.
And also make it amusing for us and for the audience at the same time.
Because if it wasn't fun for us, we wouldn't be doing this.
Well,
yeah, that's about it. Well, we're still having a good time.
A horrible joke that turned.
Yeah, it was just a silly joke among many silly jokes, and
that turned into several hundred hours of podcast.
Yeah, it became a thing.
Tripped and fell and found a podcast.
Yeah, accidentally a podcast.
The knot just slipped inside.
Yeah, you never know when that might just happen.
400. 400 hours.
400 hours of audio. Okay. Damn. Give or take.
It's a wibbly wobbly.
You guys I've been listening since episode zero. You guys have soaked up 400 hours of my life, really?
Yes.
No, we've soaked up more because you said you listened to it like 3 times.
God dang it, just stroking his ego over here, among other things.
Well, your hands were on top of. Oh!
he's using his third arm, the vestigial one. The great!
No. Murphy's one of those. That's a horrifying image. With the pencil tail.
Yep, so that's okay, basically.
Well, yeah, thanks for answering the question. I kind of envisioned all you guys sort of crowding around the computer mic, and I guess starting. That's kind of what it was. Well,
let's all talk into Saverin's Skype headset.
And now we've got this, you know, semi-pro setup. And
I can say it looks very, box. Very nice, professional. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. So we probably got room for one more. It's like 10 minutes till. Yeah, and come on down.
They only gave us an hour today.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
It's not a question, but in relation to finding queer, non-furry specfic books, I don't know if you mentioned it before, but when people are looking for good things to read, I always recommend people go to awards. And the Spectrum Awards are set up specifically to recognize queer speculative fiction books.
Oh.
And they have a webpage. I think if you just Google Spectrum Awards, you'll find them. They not only do a winning novel each year, but they also do a recommended short list, which is about 10 to a dozen other books. And there's some really good non-furry stuff, too. I'm assuming people listening to your show know where to find the furry stuff.
Right.
Yes.
And what was the other one you won was the Rainbow Awards. Do they have different categories for, like, the fantasy?
Rainbow Awards does have fantasy. The Rainbow Awards focuses more on romance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think they have gay romance and lesbian romance also. And they have fantasy categories as well as just regular non-fantasy overall gay novel categories. And there's a ton of other things.
Awesome. That's a good idea. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And we were talking earlier in Kyle's panel about anthologies in general being a good way to expose yourself to a lot of different authors. And
as opposed to expose yourself in general.
You expose yourself, yes. That's what this fandom is all about.
I was like Flesh Gordon.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it. So, do we want to? Actually, we may have room for another one.
One more email.
Okay.
I thought Rakai said he had a story for us.
You got a little story to tell?
Dang it! I'd hoped she'd forgotten.
Right. I don't forget. That's a problem.
A cat.
I do have a story, and Saverin mentioned part of this earlier. I just got back from a deployment, and.
You were in the shit.
I was in the shit.
Say it like that.
I was in the shit. Table flip. Okay. But I had little I had minimal internet connection, and I had a little iPod dock stereo, and really one of the things that I listened to the most was these guys, because I worked at night and I was alone, so. Nobody thought I was utterly insane. For most of the part. Well, no, I was playing it loud. Like, if they'd walked into the office, they would have probably walked in on some random Saverin rant about how much he loves cum on his face or something. I don't know.
It's good for the skin.
It is. It really is.
If it gets an eye, then it burns.
You took out your contacts first, right?
But yeah, I listened to basically every show about 3 times over. I restarted from episode zero and up through everything, and through all the different cast members. And yeah, it was an interesting year. But you guys, I have to say, kept me sane. And
well,
As sane as I was.
Yes. Please. We help you keep on an even keel.
Yeah, I do hang out with you guys, so I can't be that sane.
Sane for
glad
a furry.
To have you back.
Yes.
Yeah.
You came back safe, sound, and whole, so.
Yeah. No extra holes in you, hopefully.
Only the one you put in last night.
It's our little secret.
Panther's, I think, going to kill me after this.
It's not a not cast unless, you know, Panther glares at you and threatens death.
Threatens to throw something at you.
Yeah. You forgot the finger puppets or the candy, so you can't.
Or the doorknob cane.
Or the doorknob.
He has batteries.
His batteries.
Those are a little hard.
Yeah, we do have Nerf things in the cabins somewhere, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The little Nerf swords. We should have stolen one.
Yeah.
Or the big red Big Johnson rocket.
Panther objects because those won't hurt.
What? My phone's apologizing.
Does Siri have something to say, Sam?
Bad relationship with your phone again.
I'm really sorry. I can't do that. Why would you want me to display that on my screen?
I'm really sorry, Savrin, but I think I have a virus.
You whore. I have herpes. You too?
For your show, I just had to bring you some wine.
Oh, you got one. Ah!
And he bought us blue Solo cups. Oh my god.
So,
you are classy bitch, Kyo.
Kyo has just gifted us with red knot wine.
Yes.
Wow. Hold up the label so the audience can appreciate the glory.
Oh my god.
I like the red tip on here? The bottle.
Well, we did. Very from nice. Super sponsor, so I don't see why not.
Okay.
Oh, hey, I missed the super sponsor wine thing, so give me that bottle.
You're going to accidentally the whole thing.
I didn't catch up.
Hold on before we crack it open.
I just feel so bad for your podcast not having wine.
Yeah.
Oh, we have plenty of wine. It's just not this kind.
Savrin wines, Fudwolf wines. I mean, there's a lot of whining going on.
Yeah, we're all like, I wish Gio was here.
Snarf, snarf.
Arnold. I'm going to make a new hole tonight.
Are you over 21?
I am.
Oh.
I'll pull out my ID if you want. I mean,
I just had
among other things.
Use it to shit. Give the man a drink. So,
as opposed to being the shit.
We'll probably go. It's about 5 minutes till
yeah,
8.
5 minutes till the Sub-Level 3 concert, and they want everybody to go over to see the concert.
Yeah, if you guys have not seen Sub-Level 3 perform, those guys are awesome. They're good friends.
If you are familiar with the show, you know them because they do our theme song, the whole Touch It. So, yes.
That we've been using since... What, episode whenever?
Yeah, episode whenever. Yeah.
Well, no, we've used it for almost...
It's numerical.
Kyo, I like can't open the years. Bottle.
Useless woman.
For those at home, the comment was useless woman.
See? As a professional lush.
You know, I do have an idea for episode 200.
Oh.
I think we should get Panther on a microphone.
It's not easy enough.
I wanted to do that for 100.
He will say a killing word.
His name is a killing name. Oh. Thank you very much for popping the knot. And I think that is a good note to say good night.
And big balls.
Yes.
As promised on the FA Journal, this is the podcast recorded with a number of other furs at Rainforest, consisting of our very own Fozwolf, Rikoshi, Roland from Unfurled, Kyle Gold from Unsheathed, Keo Foxtrot from Fuzzy Logic, Teal Fox from Who Furs, and Tugs from For What It's Worth. That's Fur What It's Worth. Enjoy.
What happens when you take Knotcast, Who Furs, Unsheathed, Unfurled, Fuzzy Logic, and For What It's Worth, and mix them all together? Synthesthesia. And now, here's Fuzzwolf.
Okay, so we're calling this podcast Synesthesia, episode one, Roland's Mouth.
I approve of this message. This
will work out just fine.
So I guess I'll go ahead and give a little introduction here. Whole bunch of us are here at Rainforest 2012.
We're also on fan.
We have an audience of 600 here.
So many people.
So many people.
But we have a whole bunch of people from a bunch of different podcasts. So we're like, let's all get together and do a big weird multicast show. So let's go around the room, introduce ourselves, and say what shows we're from. So I'm Fuzzwolf, representing Notcast and Hoofers. And go clockwise.
So from Unsheathed, you would know me as Kame Hirasaki, but I don't trust this table to not just call me Rikoshi repeatedly. So I'm both of them.
I'm just open my mouth because that's all I'm good at.
It really
Get
is.
Get that microphone a little closer.
But otherwise, I'd be Roland from Unfurled.
Kyle Gold also represented Unsheathed.
I'm Kyo Foxtrot. I'm representing some bastardization. I mean, Fuzzy Logic.
Oh shit! This is going
Damn,
to
girl,
feed,
that's
you know?
A loyalty.
That's wow. And I'm Teal Fox, representing Hoofers.
And I'm Tugs, and I'm representing For What It's Worth.
Yay!
Woo, let's
all
pat
each other on the back now.
All up in this big hug box right here.
Look at my giant ego.
I'm a famous podcaster.
God damn it.
Famous podcaster button.
I didn't wear that at this con. I was just thinking about that because someone just commented on it on FA like 3 years after it was posted.
Oh wow. I still remember like you said like you felt like a jerk because like you were wearing it and people thought like you meant it seriously.
I figured if enough time went by, people would think that I have a button that's got my character's head doing the awesome face like. And it says, I'm a famous podcaster around it. Andrew from Rabbit Valley made an actual button for me with their button press. And I was wearing it at various cons. And I was like, the Notcast fans knew that it was a joke and it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. But then I started to wonder if maybe random people would be like, that arrogant fuck.
I couldn't possibly take anything with an awesome face seriously. I mean, that's just not a thing.
You know what people are like. Oh god!
Also, I just realized
amazeballs.
Well, you know what's really sad is I just realized just how dated Awesome Face is. Like, oh man, from the before time of 2009.
That's like 100 years in internet.
Oh, I know.
Life moves pretty fast.
You mad, bro? And why you know? And
one of these days, I'm gonna feel old. Things.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of over.
And forever alone. No.
Now it'd just be all Willy Wonka face.
I'm never on Reddit.
It's funny, for as, like, recent as Reddit is, it's very outdated in its memes. It's weird.
Now it's all about Gangnam Style.
They were fucking doing that during the Pride Parade a few weeks ago.
Really? I'm not surprised. I want them to, like I mentioned on Twitter, I want them to do a little House on the Prairie version called Gangnam Style. That'd be awesome.
Wow. I think the creative people should get right on that.
Rainbow moment.
That went right over my head.
Yeah.
Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie is that thing I didn't watch when I was like 6 years old.
If you don't get up off your knees, stuff's gonna go off of your head all the time.
Sometimes even bitch. If you're on your knees. Rolly likes giving blowjobs.
For those of you at home who didn't understand the joke, we have Kyo here to help you out.
Which just to clarify.
Trends.
I don't know what I did tonight, but goddamn.
That'll be in the show notes. We no description, just Roland likes to give blowjobs.
You know, you're... Somebody's got to be the cockwhack boy.
I think it's ironic that like we've spent orders of magnitude more time talking about blowjobs than Kyle and I do on our blowjob podcast.
Seriously, last night it was all about like how do I incorporate themes and imagery into my writing and serious plot novel. Say the theme of neglect is like the guy's giving a blowjob now.
Chapter one, slurp.
Yeah, but
just
chapter two, bite it off.
Young woman, and so
yes,
it's not funny then.
No,
it's just inappropriate, and like wrong. You get kicked out of the con.
Well, you see what had happened was we just kind of got kicked out, and it was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
When I think of earnest young women and inappropriate, my mind just goes right back to Honey Boo Boo Child.
Oh. And there's our quote. There
we go. We try to be topical here.
Oh, Honey Boo Boo Child.
Sorry, it was Kit that hadn't.
Honey Boo Boo's not a thing in Canada. I'd rather it stay that way.
Too late.
You're from redneck Canada, though. Let's be fair.
Yeah, I'm from like socialist redneck Canada. So
yeah. Rolly, just by you being on the podcast.
Yeah. It's Canada.
No, but like,
welcome to it.
I'm like, Calgary is totally the Houston of Canada.
It is. I can attest to this.
That's terrible.
Yeah, basically.
We drive big trucks, get drunk and high, and just work for oil. That's what we do.
Oh, so you are, in fact, Houston.
Yeah, no, I wasn't kidding.
They just don't have hurricanes blowing them away.
We are the Canadian counterpart.
I'm so sorry.
Does every Canadian city
have I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Canadian counterpart.
Well, I mean, Seattle geographically is like very similar to Vancouver. And then the East Coast, I'm sure, is very similar. It's been too long to remember.
And if there were a Canadian equivalent of Honey Boo Boo, she would be from, like, she'd be a newfie.
She would totally be from newfie.
I don't know. Let's just compare to Nickelback. Hey, they both suck.
My friend is a newfie, so.
He's a Honey Boo Boo child.
I'm not a newfie, but I'm from the East Coast, and even newfies are weird.
So. They call them Maritimers.
I'm a Maritimer. Newfies are completely different. Not even the Maritimers can understand those people.
Well, we jokingly said it was going to be Hatcast, and we are talking about Canada, so I guess that's appropriate.
Oh, Hatcast, I should have worn my hat.
Yeah, we all have two hats around the table. And one fetching set of purple ears. There.
Yeah, you were wearing your baseball cap there.
Oh, yeah. No, Fuzz rocking hats in the back.
Headgear around the table.
Talk about how much you like Limp Bizkit.
He's from the town I grew up in for a number of years. I used to live in Jacksonville. And,
wow, really?
Fred Durst. They watched the whole band, yeah.
Oh, I wish I had something good to associate with my hometown. I just have Eminem.
Well, I didn't say good. Oh, I just said they were from there.
I'll take Eminem over Fred Durst any day of the week.
There's a point to that.
Yeah, Eminems are delicious.
I like the ones with the pretzels in them. They're kind of...
Oh, God, those are so... Even though the commercials are so disturbing.
I try and avoid watching those commercials because I get a little sick.
Those are like Walking Tour commercials. Yeah. It's just like, well, they're going to eat us. Is that a bad thing?
It's,
okay.
It's kind of like on the level of the Werther's original grandpa commercial.
It's not just the whole thing. Eat us. It's the whole, like... They're going to eat us, and I have to jam myself inside of you before you eat that.
It's like the slutty green M&M.
It really just...
Who is
so
Vanessa Williams,
chocolate.
Which makes me so happy.
Everything we talk about is just making Roland uncomfortable.
Well, keep giving blowjobs. You'll be more in your comfort zone.
For the visually impaired, that was a bird.
Apparently, the bird does not register on the audio.
Yeah.
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 How's the rest of the audio? Is it registering?
Everywhere.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we need to have, like, the Foley sound effect for somebody flipping someone off.
I think I heard the Wilhelm scream earlier.
Air whistle thing.
That was my text message.
Ah.
Yeah, that.
I took all my soundboards off my phone, so I was never using them, so...
Oh, I just thought it would be Savrin being like...
ever.
Huh?
Yeah. Those are like the most distracting things ever anyway.
Can you still have the Plinkett soundboard?
I do. I have both versions of it. There's like a second volume.
Oops.
Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to play it on the show.
Yeah, probably not.
Ricky, we're missing your bucket. I'm so sad.
Yeah.
With you my are big the purple bucket.
You have the purple bucket. I didn't want to upstage it.
You
can't upstage a purple bucket.
Exactly.
You're the
Even
only
it's
one.
An empty bucket now.
I'm just so amused that they come with little spades.
They do. Well, the first one didn't. I was about to fucking like ghetto smack this bitch for not giving me a spade.
My bucket didn't come with a spade.
See, you should have ghetto smacked that bitch.
See, but I was a little concerned because it was a bucket of color.
Wow. Just really seeing this podcast can't get any more inappropriate and offensive. It, like, you don't disappoint me.
I was about to say, is this inappropriate cast?
You couldn't help it. You had a big black bucket.
Listen to us, but I mean, Unfurled is by no means appropriate.
So,
get on your knees again.
Described for what it's worth is what the friendly cast.
It's just because we don't let all the crap on the air that we record.
We edit out all the profanity.
Well, we brought For What It's Worth here so we could corrupt them with all of our terrible...
You just wanted the soundboard.
Well, that too.
You offered. I was going to have to try to hunt through boxes and boxes for mine otherwise.
See, your soundboard makes ours look like a little midget child, because ours is only like this big. It's really tiny, itty bitty, and yours is like big and
giant.
You can
name it Glitzy.
After Honey Boo Boo Child's Pig.
Boo Boo Child's Pig.
I think
Boo Boo has a pig.
No, she had to give it back.
She had to give it back because she's Honey Boo Boo Child.
All right, I think we have to call a moratorium on the Honey Boo Boo references. That was five already in this podcast, and I think we're done.
I haven't seen the show, so well, the pig thing goes over my head.
So she had a pet pig named Glitzy for a while.
Okay.
And, like, she wanted to make it dress up as a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
It was a boy.
The parents were like, oh, it's like, you're gonna make the pig gay. It's like, the pig can't be gay. And she's all like... She's like, you can't... It's like, that pig can do what it wants. You can't tell the pig what to do.
It's gonna be Uncle Poodle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she calls...
gay bacon.
She calls gay people poodles. That's her word for gay people.
That's kind of fuck? Cute.
Yeah, so she has Uncle Poodle. Who's, like, her really gay uncle. Oh. And, like, when you're watching the episode, like, up in, like, the corner of the screen, they have, like, hashtag Uncle Poodle. Like, should prompt people to, like, talk about him, I guess.
I feel like I'm getting, like, my muscle exercises for giving a blowjob later. It's like, wee.
It's the warm-up.
I'm not complaining.
So we have a lack of mic stands, so people have to do it.
I feel like a celebrity. I'm like, well, you know, I'm holding this mic and talking, because that's what I do.
You're a big purple fish in a small pond.
Fuck this pond. I'm out.
Drop the mic.
Speaking of fucking the ponds, we'll have to catch up on Doctor Who later.
So, yeah.
Spoiler, more like it.
We've been avoiding. I haven't seen any.
I had the near miss, too, on Facebook.
I've had several near misses today, but luckily nothing's been spoiled for me. Yes, we'll have to catch up on some things.
If we're just not into the Orange Room tomorrow, it'll be because I'm trying to download a 700 gig high def file from iTunes over my iPad. Is your ear okay?
Oh, it's fine. It's a clip-on earring, so it hurts like a motherfucker. Because I have a piercing in my left ear, but I don't have one in my right, so I had to turn this one into a clip-on. It hurts like a motherfucker.
Well, it's better than having your head be unbalanced, by the way.
Well, I had my lightning bolt earlier, and then I had other lightning bolts.
You know it speaks volumes about your lifestyle when you have a clip-on converter for earrings.
I do. I have a pack of converters for earrings.
Wow.
They make them.
I didn't know that was there, a thing.
I know, right? There's a thing for everything.
There is. So
a lot
me and
of
Avery
things.
Were sitting in my living room making all my earrings into clip-ons.
What if you want to wear an earring for a pierced ear, but you don't want to get your ear pierced? What can you convert? What I want to know is, can you convert a clip-on ear into a pierced ear?
You totally can. All you have to do is just unbend stuff and put it back together.
Either that or get Avery to do it for you.
Exactly. That's what Avery's
for. The big irony here is that Kyo has to do this because he doesn't have his gay ear pierced.
I know. How ironic. It's the only thing not gay about me.
That's the biggest
but then I put big fucking honking sparkling earrings on the other side just to make up for
it. Did you not know it was the wrong ear?
Nope. Not at the time.
Did you know that there was a right and a wrong ear?
Not at the time.
Okay.
Well, then you're just
behind. George Carlin, the left one means you like to hump water buffaloes.
I didn't know that was a thing either, but okay.
They don't have those in Canada.
No, we don't.
He just likes fucking moose.
We have moose, and they show up in the paper.
Moose paper?
Moose crash turns fatal.
Wow.
More booze.
We ended up getting into a conversation with a girl who ran a espresso shack in Utah. Ohio.
Are they allowed to sell espresso in Utah?
In Ohio. And
it's very taboo.
We ended up getting into a discussion about healthcare and all that, but we had a paper from Canada. It's like the most right-wing thing that we have in there. And so we gave it to her, but we were flipping through the pages, and like on the third page, like big headline was Moose Crash Turns Fatal, and
Honey Boo Boo laughs.
Like, fuck, there's
awesome.
The most Canadian thing that could possibly happen in the front page of our paper. That's awesome.
fucking right move.
It's like a poutine truck overturned.
Get out of my head.
If only we had poutine trucks, that would be fantastic.
Is it like a cement mixer full of
poutine? Or like a gravy truck crashes into a french fry truck on the highway.
I need a cheese curd truck in there.
I was going to say, like, you know, like a poutine truck being driven by Alanis Morissette spilled over onto the Bare Naked Ladies.
And he sings the death song.
I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
Sorry.
Shania Twain could write a ballad about it.
Canadian apologies. Wow.
Sorry.
I've
got to visit the fabled Canadas.
You must.
The Canadas are pretty nice.
Fabled.
I mean, we even have conventions now. I mean,
totally.
Yeah.
Camp Barrel.
CanadaCon.
Vancouver and Foray, that other thing.
They're not real
furthest
conventions.
North.
That's where the Canadians go.
Furthest North isn't really a con. It's like a glorified Canada.
Isn't
trip.
What the Fur in Canada as well?
Yes.
So
yes.
In Canadian conventions, do like the con chairs write in on moose onto the stage?
You know what? Sure.
Drinking Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Speaking of Canadian conventions, I'm guest of honor at a Canadian convention next year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh wait.
At Condition, which is in London, Ontario, which is like Toronto's little cousin. Well, I think that's Guelph.
Yeah. Guelph is kind of like the gay uncle, I think.
So it's a poodle.
It's yeah. A poodle.
Uncle poodle.
Next year, I want at least one con somewhere in North America to have Here Comes Honey Boo Boo be the con theme.
I will never attend.
Reject his con
theme. Rejected con theme. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. So you could have a Glitzy the Pig fursy, and it'd be awesome.
It's really bad because my mind started reeling. It was like, well, now, which conventions would do that? And then a list popped up in my head. And I'm just like, I should probably not
name
that list.
I think, self-censor mode.
I was just like, thanks,
I'll text
Frank.
You my thoughts on
that. You know who you are.
Honey Boo Boo Chow.
Ain't nothing wrong with being a little gay. Everybody's a little gay.
Ping!
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo's now
the
gay.
That was really odd there?
No, yeah. She even describes herself as a fruit fly. And she's like giving up.
How old is she?
I
thought she was like...
She's seven, yeah.
Oh my god.
She's like, this is a message for all my fans who are poodles from Honey Boo Boo Child. And like,
RuPaul loves that bitch, like, a lot of it. She's like, I love me some Honey Boo Boo. I met that bitch the other day. She is fabulous. I was like, I'm just seeing RuPaul just... in a big fucking wig, looking at Honey Boo Boo like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Work it, girl. RuPaul. You crazy bitch. You poodle.
You Americans are so crazy.
He is straight up poodle.
That's another rejected con theme. You crazy bitch.
You crazy bitch. And then my brain did it again. I was like, which cons would do that?
Rejected con themes. Don't put your
dick
in
crazy. Oh, thank you. I was the guest of honor.
I would just be up there with a nappy ass wig on. Just, what? What? Oh, wait, that's just most of my wigs. Nappy ass.
It's dragons, but it's dragons.
Oh, it's kind of like when we did the drag panel at Fiesta and everyone showed up and we're like, I thought this was going to be a training dragon panel. And I was like, no, this is how to put a vagina on panel. Come on, guys.
God. I put it in the wrong place. It's my forehead.
Yeah, so we changed the name.
Term boy pussy.
Speaking of terms that we were talking about last night,
I thought you were going to say boy. Most of the mind terms fodder, that we but... shouldn't use, I don't want to say on the podcast.
No,
I don't want to give people ideas. They don't know them already.
Thanks, Roland.
Just look forward to the fact that you don't have to besmirch the name of Unsheathed and only, like, the super cast.
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia, yeah.
I like synesthesia as a name for it, actually.
Okay.
It kind of works.
Yeah.
With Roland.
It's a giant
jobs.
Clusterfuck of sensations all being mixed up.
I mentioned on Notcast that Twitter text conversation we had.
Flip the bird's down
one day. About we were doing the terrible.
Oh, that's right.
TS
yeah, thing. You did say you were going to put that up.
And I was like, I'm going to fill up your fart tank.
Oh, what?
Right up there with tongue punching your dirt star.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'll never.
Well.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was pretty special.
Neither will the rest of us.
And
with that, how was your rain first, Fuzz?
Oh, right. We're talking about
how was
that.
The weather?
Oh, God, the weather is so nice here.
And here's Trisha Takanawa with everything else.
So yeah. There are three of us here who live in Dallas, so the weather in Seattle is quite cool and nice.
We walked outside and we were like, God, I'm cold. And I was like, oh, my God, I've lived in Texas for too long when, like, 70 degrees is cold.
And I'm like, I'm cold, but I don't want to put on a jacket because I like being cold for a change.
It reminds me that I'm alive and not in Texas.
And not in Texas.
You should go visit Canada.
I'm just like,
I'll bring a jacket.
I'm just like, bitch, I grew up in Michigan. This is not cold. Why is my brain telling me this is cold?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've lived in Connecticut with, like, feet of snow, but, yeah.
This is still, like, normal weather to me, except, I don't know, there's not even more rain here. It hasn't rained at all.
Yeah.
That's why it's called a drought.
It's just normal weather with more humidity.
It never rains when I come to Seattle, and I don't know why.
It's because they all lie about the rain. It's like we in California lie about the earthquakes.
Yeah,
trying to keep people.
No, there's totally earthquakes all the time, and your houses will fall down, and you'll be
just an earthquake.
Yes, yeah. Oddly enough, there was an earthquake in Irving tonight.
Oh, you see?
Irving, Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a very small one, 3.4, whatever
it
was.
God opened the earth and swallowed the BSA headquarters whole for kicking out gay people.
I'm sorry, my rainbows were holding together Texas. It's falling apart without me there. There's my ego.
You attribute way too much.
Like, if you live in California, like, you don't even feel it.
Yeah, I'm seriously, you don't even get.
It's like if it's under five, don't even like bother
exactly.
to call me. Like,
five is where you start to notice.
Yeah,
where you're like,
did the ground move?
Something's happening.
I remember when the DC area got their 5.4 a couple of years back. And, like, they were all freaking out, and everyone in California
was like,
mass
panic,
yawn.
Like, state of emergency.
Yeah.
And we were like, 5.4?
Yeah.
What, like a glass tip over?
Yeah. And, like, but, like, they got really mad because, like, oh, like, these Californians are acting like all elitists. Like, we were really scared. Like, sorry that you guys have better natural disasters
than
us.
Did you see the GIFs that came up after that?
Oh, yeah.
With, like, they're, like, the lawn
the
chair.
The lawn chair is, like,
side.
Never forget. And there's, like, the crying bald eagle in the corner.
It was amazing.
But like, seriously, like, that's kind of how it felt. We're like, 5.4, really? Because, like, we're like, oh my God, like, there was this big earthquake on the East Coast. And I'm like, oh crap. It's like, I run to the news and I'm like,
5.4?
Whatever.
5.4 makes you kind of get up from your desk and wonder if you should go somewhere, and then it's over.
5.4, a stripper moves her ass faster than that. Come on.
See, like, at this point, I'm just kind of confused because earthquakes aren't even a thing in Canada.
You have snow.
They don't we have snow, but I mean, come on. We don't have earthquakes. They're just not.
Man, all the faults are full of poutine and maple syrup.
That's your secret.
It just sort of absorbs all the shock, and then nothing
really
happens.
It's this natural barrier.
Plus our meese kind of keeping under control.
Now I'm just seeing maple syrup seeping from the ground out of nowhere.
I was going to say, like, or there's possibly, like, a ton of earthquakes that are happening and up in, like, none of it, but you never find out because there's nobody there to tell you about them. No one gives a shit about none of it. It was, like, wasn't even a thing until 10 years ago.
No, I know someone who works in D.C., and she said when the earthquakes hit, like, basically all the offices sent everyone home, and she had to walk 3 miles because she would normally take the metro out.
Oh.
But the metro stopped. The metro was so crammed full of people trying to flee the city and get back home that she basically had to walk to the suburbs where she could catch a train that wasn't full of people.
They
took her like 2 hours to get home.
Regardless of earthquake preparedness, do they not know that after the earthquake happens, it's over and you just go back to what you were doing?
But there's aftershocks.
Yes, which are not as strong as the already not strong one that happened.
It's just really funny.
It's like, we're not trying to make fun of you, East Coast people.
We are.
Well, okay, like, but not mean-spiritedly.
Look at these liberal elites from California.
Living in California for a long time makes you desensitized to smaller earthquakes.
Were there actual damages in D.C.? Because they don't have the infrastructure that California has to deal with it.
No.
Buildings aren't up to earthquake code.
The spires of the National Cathedral were damaged, I think.
Okay.
But nothing like no buildings fell on people.
But it's not just earthquakes.
Yeah.
Because they get hurricanes all the freaking time,
yeah.
And they freak out about hurricanes, too.
Well, no, I mean, and I grew up in Boston, and we got hurricanes all the time. And, like, hurricanes are way worse than earthquakes, I think.
Damn right
they are. For one, they last for several days. And, like, they actually do, like, drive you out of your home if you're not careful.
Yeah. Now, how many hurricanes did real damage while you were growing up?
The biggest one was Hurricane Gloria, which was in the early 86. 80s.
Yeah, I remember.
It was in 86, because yeah. I lived in Connecticut.
Yeah.
It was like a thing that it made it that far up.
Also Laura Branigan's Gloria was a really big song, so they kept playing that on the radio.
See, when you say Gloria...
I remember Hurricane Gloria, and I remember like everybody predicting all this damage, and then there was basically nothing.
Yeah.
A bunch of trees.
It rained a while.
Yeah.
Damn, I feel young.
So what were you saying, Teal?
I was just saying, from a natural disaster perspective... Grew up in California, live in Texas now. Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Tornadoes are I don't like hell. Them. And I'll take an earthquake over a tornado any day.
Because I agree.
Tornadoes will drop on your ass and you won't even fucking know. Yes. A hurricane, you have some warning.
Yeah.
Earthquakes, they happen suddenly, but usually it's just kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like earthquake, you can like go somewhere and like, right, like hurricane, like, come or tornado comes down and just rips your house apart and you're dead.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and also, I mean, with earthquakes, the stat in California that I think about a lot is, you know, everybody knows we've had major earthquakes in the Bay Area and Los Angeles. The last time an earthquake killed more than 100 people was 1906.
Yeah.
So we're due.
Overdue.
We've had like 7.0 earthquakes, and it's just the structures are
strong.
The structures are sound.
Yeah.
And
in Loma Prieta was bad, but that was before my time.
No, I lived through Loma Prieta,
and
that
was 88 people.
Yeah,
that was mostly because of the bridge, right?
Right, it was the bridge,
yeah.
And I mean that was a scary earthquake. I had no doubt about it. It felt like it was the longest earthquake I ever felt. You know, it went on and on and on, but you know the infrastructure in California is designed to deal with these kinds of things.
But those minimize the damage because the Northridge quake, where people lost their homes, and you know that was bad. But you don't generally people don't die.
Yeah.
For context, Loma Prieta was in 1989 during Game 3 of the World Series.
Game 3, just before Game 3 of the World Series.
Well, I mean they were airing coverage.
Right.
Yeah.
God, I feel so sheltered, literally.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you've been giving so many blowjobs.
Any sort of natural disaster, period. It's just not a thing.
Fun sports fact about the 89 World Series. The A's had won the first two games behind their two best pitchers, and it was widely believed that their pitching staff quality fell off after the first two, but because there was like a 8-day layoff between games 2 and 3, they just trotted out their two big pitchers again and won games 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So what kind of natural disasters did your podcast have to deal with?
Mormons.
I was kind of thinking about that. Like,
those are
natural
disasters.
Was that a 5.4? No, it's a stampeding Mormons on March in downtown Salt Lake City.
We don't really have natural disasters. We're due for an earthquake, and they've been saying that forever.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Do you have droughts?
We do. Yeah, I guess we do have droughts. We have wildfires right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go outside and you can smoke a 6-pack in 5 minutes.
do cookies count as a natural disaster?
Do what?
Do cookies count as a natural disaster?
Yes. The non-metallic kind.
So many cookies.
The metallic kind is cheating.
I love it because he just breaks his teeth every time he tries to eat it without thinking about it.
Oh, God, really?
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
And someone needed a crown that day.
You think he'd remember that after the first time?
Nah.
Nah. He doesn't interact with it except for those 10 seconds.
So those that don't know, Rue has fortune cookies on for what it's worth and pops them open and reads a fortune on every episode. And when did he, like a few episodes ago, he got like a metal one?
Well, we were at Barnes & Noble and I was tired of finding fortunes everywhere in my house. And so he got the metal cookie. And it came with a book of shitty fortunes. That we read, that someone picks.
Is it actually called Book of Shitty Fortunes?
No, it's Love Fortunes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's like unintentionally bad, which is the best kind of bad.
Yeah.
Kind of like Battlefield
Earth. Well, the thing is I'm really just sick of fortune cookies because he was, this was before I was on the show, they were guest of honor for Idaho, and so they ordered 500 damn fortune cookies that were all listened to for what it's worth, and they're still around. And he keeps trying to make me eat them, and I have eaten enough fortune cookies to feed an African nation at this point.
You're Africans, fortune cookies. What does your fortune say?
Speaking of Battlefield Earth. Speaking of Battlefield Earth.
That's a terrible segue.
Oh, gosh. No, but did you hear that Battlefield Earth is allegedly Mitt Romney's favorite book?
You've made me sad now.
Wow. Mitt Romney or Money Boo Boo?
Money Boo Boo.
I think we can just close with that.
Mittens Boo Boo.
Mittens. I love the name Mittens. I use it with delight.
Do you know, were you the one who told me somebody? I found out. So I've been reading Wonkette lately because they're awesome. And they call Mitt Romney's wife Egg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of Arrested Development. Because they're named Ann Romney. But they call her Egg. Of George Michael's girlfriend of
Arrested
Development. It was Ann who... Michael could never remember her name, so at one point he calls her Egg.
Yes.
How you doing, Mittens and Erg?
Or Annabelle. Yeah. Like, that's not her name, it's just she's bell shaped. It helps me remember who she is.
All of that.
Oh.
She went on to play Roxy in the Scott Pilgrim movie. Yeah. She's also the voice of Katara in Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I hate Avatar. I hate the movie.
Avatar's the shit, dude.
I love Avatar, just the movie sucks.
The Last Fellbender.
Yeah, what he said.
Ja.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
We're not friends anymore.
I think it's time for the West Side Story music to start to play.
Yeah, we're the Jets, you're the Sharks.
Well, there's no Sharks because there's no NHL season.
There's
a little bitter.
Anyway, that happened.
Let's pause and then go into con reports.
Pause.
Okay. Leading us into part two, the true natural Canada disasters. Roland hasn't got enough blowjobs this weekend, apparently.
He can't count to 100.
We're going to discuss that in Canada's educational system.
I give up. Do you all win?
Canuckies. Blowjobs are one of Canada's most valuable exports.
That maple syrup.
I'd be a goddamn millionaire, but that's not the case.
If I had a nickel for every blowjob I get.
I charge at least $10, thank you.
And that's $10 Canadian.
Hey, that's on par with your American dollar.
I like your guys' new $50 bills.
And our hundreds.
Yeah.
They're all plastic. And plastic.
I got to touch one.
Oh,
it's
all
like the future.
See, Canadian money is either, I've heard it called Monopoly money or McDonald's money before, because it's all just funny colors.
The stupid thing about people complaining about the plastic bills is that they're complaining they can like melt them on their stoves, and I'm really confused because regular money also sets on fire.
Because yeah, I regularly put, you know, currency on my stove and set it on fire.
Apparently it will melt if you put it through the dryer.
It sucks. I can't even burn it for warmth.
It'll at least survive if it goes through the washer.
Also does not survive going through the washer and dryer.
Right, exactly. So
like, usually,
I mean, regular money is made of cotton, so it would probably still survive the washer anyway.
I've seen money washed before. Yeah. Where do you think the term money laundering comes from?
I will hit you.
Something much more illegal.
So how was your con?
To be like, I don't know if you're joking or just dumb.
Speaking of money laundering, how's Fur Planet done at the con so far, Fuzz?
Sounds of punching inserted here.
You know the Futurama meme, can't tell if trolling or just stupid.
Yeah.
Actually, Rukus has taken that one.
Yeah, she's put her own character out there. Which is... It's
and
fitting
the,
for
the
FA.
The best version I said about that, or I've seen of that, not to inject politics back into it, is they have Fry with the squinched eyes going, can't tell if parody or something a Republican actually said.
It's sad because it's true.
So true. So, brain first, con reports. We're halfway through the con, so how's it going for everybody?
Only halfway?
I love
two-thirds way.
Okay.
Has anyone here been to the old FC before it left the amazing Doubletree?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Does this con feels a lot like
FC
the old
or
FC?
In the Doubletree
FC.
Yeah, kind of.
It does.
Yeah.
It does, actually.
The Doubletree might be one of my favorite like the... Connatels, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a great layout.
Is that the old FC?
Yeah.
The which one? That was like 2 years ago.
No, you didn't. You made it to the first year of the Fairmont.
I made it to Con and Breakup Con at the same time. It was like really weird.
I'm sorry.
I haven't heard of it as Breakup Con.
Yeah, there was this one con where like a bunch of couples just all broke up.
Yeah, I've heard from like a dozen people refer to it as Breakup Con in addition to the Broken Elevator Con.
So would that be FC 2011?
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
Breakup Con, aka I Want to Have Sex Con.
Isn't that every con?
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of con reports...
Well, I was giving this guy a blowjob in the hallway, and it was fantastic. Oh, wait.
We have to talk later, honey.
Yeah, you'll live.
Yeah, I know.
Just sort of acceptance.
He'll live.
Yeah.
He might not.
Yeah. Till the herpes.
I mean, why don't you tell us how your rainforest has been?
It's been pretty good. I got in early on Thursday, like 10 a.m., after a mad search for XLR cables before flying out.
Too bad you didn't bring a USB A to B cable.
No, that was the one thing I forgot. And one thing Tugs forgot, too.
Bastard.
Yeah. But no, it's been good. Ran around, got set up and everything on Thursday. And it's pretty busy, actually, those 3 hours. I don't know if it's actually additional sales or if it's just things that people would have bought on Friday instead that they showed up on Friday instead. So Friday, Saturday, pretty busy. I can't even remember it now. I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Bitch, it is a day away. How do you not remember?
I'm serious. I'm like...
You seen how much booze is going around?
I don't even drink.
I will point out that... was it Rocky Mountain last year or FWA, the cast that you and I did, the other combined podcast, was called Grey Muzzle Cast?
Yeah. I'm seeing that now, I guess. I've always had just a terrible memory, though. Like, we ate together last night. Yeah, that's right.
Rukus.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like you and me and Kit and Rukus and... Zia was there?
Yeah.
And that was fun. And I don't remember much after that.
Did you come to our panels and podcasts?
No, unfortunately I didn't. I have a friend here locally who's in... you're like, all right, sad Hulk music. I have a friend here locally, Darius, that is going to school. And he was getting off of work at 9. And this is the only day that I could see him. Because I'm flying home Sunday at like 3 in the afternoon. So I had to, I unfortunately missed the Unsheathed live show in order to, and the rest of the panels I've been dealing at. So even though I'd like to escape and go to some panels and stuff like that.
Fuzz loves stealing the math. I'm sorry, every time I think of you saying dealing, I can remember is MFF and Kyle walking up with his shiny ass glasses, handing me a bag of some shit, and I had no idea what was in there. And you were like, oh, it's just a dealer. And I'm like, what? What did he just hand me?
Something on the download that you were passing to me. I don't remember what it was. It was something we were discussing later on.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah, he didn't know who you were. No, he did know who he was, but you had, like, the hat and the mirrored shades on, and you just kind of passed through something.
Oh, yeah, this was back when you used to wear the mirrored shades everywhere.
I did. I brought them with me. I just haven't worn them at this time.
It might have been, like, a preview of a book or something.
I was just like, I feel like I just gave you something illegal, and I don't know how I should feel about that.
From Planet Does Not Sell Meth, I just want to put that out there. Don't go looking for meth on our website.
They don't sell it, but they give it away with a $50 purchase. So
that's different. That's not taxable.
See, if you lick the paper that it comes in,
we're not selling you alcohol. We're just giving you a free sample of alcohol when you pay to see the Blind Tiger.
What?
Speakeasy. Prohibition.
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of like that era.
Yeah, that's how they would get around stuff like that.
Yeah. Sneak. It's like labeling a dildo a cake topper in Texas.
Oh, really? They do that?
Seriously.
Yeah, they totally do.
It's either cake topper, or it has a sticker that says, not for internal use, novelty item only, or it's an anatomical model.
I actually was listening to Dan Savage's podcast, and he had somebody on who was from the sex toy, I don't know, sex toy interest group or something. There was a group that, for safer toys and whatnot, and, mm-hmm. and someone called in and asked, why am I seeing these clearly shaped sex toys that say not for internal use? And the woman said, well, that's a real problem. What happens is they're made by larger companies who do not want to differentiate their products. So anything, it's just sort of a CYA for lawsuits, yeah. where rather than kind of go through every single product that they make and determining whether or not it should have that label, they just slap it on everything.
Wow. They should put that on food. That'd be hilarious.
Not for internal consumption.
Do not take internally.
But yeah. but it's an apple. Yeah, don't do that.
It'll sue you.
Take a bite out of your iPad.
I don't know. At FurryCon, sometimes I wonder if the health food actually has a whole bunch of warning labels all over it. I brought some health food to ConOps, and they were looking at me like I was crazy.
Warning, does vines. Not contain sugar.
What health food are you hauling around?
I had apples and oranges and bananas and granola bars.
You brought those to the con?
No, I was sent as a innocent bystander.
A liaison.
Yeah, we'll go with that, too.
You're a lesbian?
No, that's my mother.
Oh, okay.
Crazy mullet dyke. Anyway.
See, story title ideas, crazy mullet dyke.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Which is funny, because every time I take a wig off when I'm in drag, I'm just like, wow, I look like my mom a lot. I think I should go eat some snatch.
That discussion we're going to have just got longer.
Kids in China have no pussy.
You eat all your snatch, or you don't leave this table.
No.
So, con report. So,
yes.
How was your con?
My con's been pretty good. Did a lot of writing panels.
Have you eaten any snacks?
No, I haven't.
Yet.
Not that I remember. I have been drinking a lot. The writing panels have gone very smoothly, especially compared to last year, since we are lacking a disruptive influence this year, which... is good, but we're not gonna need names, but anyway. And then the Unsheathed podcast last night, I think, went really well. I think we got what was probably our best question of all time.
Yeah, the one that I kind of made fun of earlier.
Yeah, that
but
one.
That was one of the best writing questions we've had on the show.
Yeah, and it was
definitely in a live podcast.
Oh, absolutely. And it was cool because it like sort of forced me to stay sober long enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then she
came up afterwards and she told us we were super helpful.
Yeah, which is good. I sort of lost my sobriety a little bit when the next guy came up and asked his questions, and I made my weird firearms analogy.
Yeah.
Because
his question was, this one, I remember now. His question was, I get too many ideas. Should I try writing them all down and developing them, or should I, like, just pick a couple and make sure that they, you know, make sure they're one, the ones that work?
Did he suggest, like, a shotgun technique?
Well, no, but Caleb said, if you fire a pistol 10 times in a row at a target, all of the shots might miss the target. But if you fire a shotgun blast with, like, 20 pellets in it, and I'm just staring at him like, what are you talking about?
As soon as, like, you, like, looked at me after something, like, oh, that made sense in my head, but not out loud.
This is what happens when you hang out with Texans for a weekend.
Right.
Suddenly start talking like Rick Perry.
All of those bullets are going to hit the target at some point or another.
But no, and been seeing a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time. I do like this con has a good crop of people that I know who come from all over who all just sort of happened. This is a popular con for people I know.
Yeah,
this actually reminds me of Furry Fiesta in a couple ways. One mm-hmm. of them is that it's a very regional con.
Right.
There's a lot of people here that just don't go to any other cons.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about the closest thing available for anyone from Alberta.
He said a boot again.
Of Alberta here.
Yeah.
a boat.
So we essentially travel 16 hours to a town where we all see each other anyway.
Yeah.
And then a couple of our extra friends.
So is this closer than MFF?
I'm going to say yes, but where is MFF?
Chicago.
60652.
I'm sorry, I make you do math.
Yeah, no, I've driven through Chicago, and it's only been on the way to Pittsburgh. I think it's still like a 24-hour
drive. Wow, that is not a winning proposition.
I was about to say, like, I can check the distance on my phone. They're like, oh, wait, I updated to iOS 6. No, I can't.
No, I'm from...
Now.
It's just not a
thing. He apologized for it, so it's totally a legit joke.
I've almost been stabbed in Chicago. Interesting story, but that's...
Yeah, not I think lots of people try to stab you in Chicago. We call it a furry convention.
I've never gone stabbing you with your dicks. For a furry.
Exactly.
I've only done it to drive to Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To a furry convention.
To AC.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I noticed when I had a couple of Canadians that came by the table earlier, and I knew they were Canadian because they were dripping with maple syrup.
And talking about things.
Actually, because on their badges, they had
I'm waiting
a little...
for some sort of war reference. I mean,
no. Not on this show, man. No. They had a old Canadian flag.
Yeah, because this show has boundaries.
That's totally, yeah.
There's actually an Alberta for giving those away to Canadians.
That's what I was going to ask.
There's one on my badge.
I was like, is it like a tag and release program? Is it something?
Like, whenever Canadians
airdrop.
Go abroad, they love to like make sure everyone knows they're Canadian.
Yeah, we have to make sure that people like us, so we tag our flag on everything.
Yeah, find a Canadian First backpack. I guarantee you it has a maple leaf flag on it.
Awesome.
Do you know David Rakoff? He's a Canadian comedian who emigrated to New York and sadly died about a month and a half ago.
Month or two ago, yeah.
But he was talking about being Canadian and how, you know, when you're a Canadian in America, every time somebody mentions a celebrity who's Canadian, you automatically break in and it's like, they're Canadian, you know. Like you have to tag people if other people don't know they're Canadian.
Yeah, but if they're Canadian, that doesn't mean we like them.
Oh no,
no.
But
so I was listening to this Brian Adams
actually
album.
Said, did you mention her earlier? He said there is a celebrity named Shania Twain who is Canadian. He's like, I have no idea why she's famous. I don't know. I don't even know why I know that she's famous.
That's
but
right.
I know that she's Canadian
because all Canadians are linked.
We don't have a lot to be patriotic about, so the second that anything
mouth.
Big comes out of Canada, we're sort of...
Yeah, I was,
there's like a big love-hate relationship with any Canadian celebrities.
I was in Canada when Avril Lavigne and Chad Kroeger got engaged, and it's all anyone was talking about.
I didn't even know they were engaged. But
yeah.
Then again, I'm not Canadian, so I guess...
It's like write your own punchline to like the worst Canadian music joke you can think of.
They were all telegramming each other.
See, and like every time I think of Canada, I just get the fucking South Park Canadian angry calling America. It's about democracy.
Every time I think about is that one South Park episode, Follow the Only Road. Every time I think about it, compared to American roads and just how many different ways there are to get to everywhere, it's never been more true. Every time I think about it, we have one road that takes us anywhere, but that's it.
The only road.
Suddenly seem very sad. You're like, that's all we have.
The trans
that hockey.
Well, like the Trans Canada.
Not right now. No.
It just each road just kind of splits off to their own individual town.
What's the deal with hockey?
Sorry, I didn't mean to trans. Yeah, so the NHL is locked out. They have a problem with the owners and the players not coming to an agreement. And this is like the third time in a decade that this has occurred. I am a huge hockey fan, and this is pissing me off.
And now that the NFL referees are back to work, maybe people might notice that there's an NHL lockout.
Already back to work?
Yeah, as of Wednesday.
If anyone's going to notice,
I honestly am not saying that judgmentally. I'm just saying I had not heard word one about the NHL lockout except when people said Roger Goodell is worse than Gary Bettman because of the replacement refs.
Nobody is worse than Gary Bettman.
You would have some argument about that.
No, I know. There was the complete comparison for a while, like which is worse, the NHL lockout or the refs. Honestly, I think the NHL ref lockout was more dangerous
than the NFL, than the NHL lockout, because some of those calls on those pay fields were just terrible.
Well, and we're not going to turn this into sports.
Yeah.
We lost control of the game. That's
yeah,
the problem. Players
exactly.
Players actually get injured.
Right, and right now nobody's playing hockey, so
right.
I don't think it's as dangerous as the...
Like, you could not have written a better culmination to how that situation was going to resolve itself, though, with that Monday night game. Like
Monday night.
Yeah, like last play, game-winning, like huge stakes. It was just like... It almost didn't feel real.
And a minimum of, what did we hear, like $150 million
yeah.
lost to gamblers, because most people were betting on the Packers to win.
Oh.
And that call flipped the outcome.
Wow.
So, yeah, their estimates are from like $150 to $300 million.
Yeah, and we were watching this, it's like, oh, and like, well, there's the answer to figuring out the referee issue, and like a day and a half later it had been sorted. It's like, yeah.
Wow.
So I just realized how retardedly gay I was, because you all started talking about sports. My brain tuned all of it out and then replaced it with Gaga Americano. And
I was going to say, like, did you go to Glee? Like, oh my God.
I was just like, Gaga started playing my head and I didn't hear any of that.
So back on Con Report track.
Oh, yeah.
So Roland, how many dicks have you sucked?
500.
Would you like me to answer that question?
Yeah, really.
7,000. The answer is none. But anyway...
Don't lie.
This con or ever?
We need to release this episode tonight.
So much more.
Make it happen.
No, in all seriousness, how has your con been going?
Well, I got here pretty early. I was here since Wednesday afternoon, and I've been bored stiff until about Friday night. Soren's done a wonderful job of filling me with alcohol. And
Soren is in our audience.
It's been filled with drunken food runs and...
Any brown bag adventures this
year? Isn't food better when you're drunk?
No brown bag adventures.
We haven't brown bagged this year.
You don't have Tal to embody the brown bag adventure spirit.
I was the one who made it. But anyway...
Yeah, but Tal's the one who owned it.
There's been no one to carry on the torch, so it's been bucket adventures so far. Yeah, I haven't done a whole lot of constructive stuff this con, aside from walk around, swim, and drink booze.
Sounds like a good con to me.
I lost my voice, yeah. So I mean, that's something.
Have you discovered the fire pit?
I discovered the fire pit.
Is that not the most awesome fire pit when you're drunk?
I haven't been drunk around the fire pit.
Fixes it.
There's a fire.
Just don't be drunk and fall into the fire pit. Then we have a different story.
For legal reasons, we're not going to advocate getting drunk and going near an open flame.
And
also, for common sense reasons, we're not going to recommend getting drunk and going near an open flame.
Why? We can put our Canadian money in it.
Ooh.
It might melt. Okay, so the concept of fucking melting money is, like, breaking my mind.
That shit'll melt like alphabet.
I'm like, bitch, do I put water on it? Is it like a shrinky dink?
Wow, you pulled out the shrinky dink reference.
Nice. Forms of
nice.
I want money that's shrinky dinks now. That would be cute.
Our economy would just go in the toilet as everyone is, like, putting their money in the oven.
Well, it would be funny, because every time they tried to flush the drug money, it would just get bigger.
So.
Hey, Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle. Hi. Yeah, how was your con?
Hi, everyone. My con's been good so far. I had all my panels are done with, actually.
Oh, you have tomorrow off.
I have to... stand in the dealer's room, but the I think what we did, I got to launch a book.
Which, oh God, I totally forgot about the book launch party.
Yes, clearly not a large.
It was two whole days ago.
Clearly not a large part of Fuzzwolf's con experience.
Sorry.
Though he published it.
I published two of the books at the book launch party, and completely
there were only two books.
Forgot about it.
There were only two books, although there. I think the other
there was another book launch party for the other book.
The following
yeah, which
day.
Was either last night or tonight.
Yeah.
We're missing it now, perhaps.
I think it was supposed to be Friday.
So sorry.
But, yeah. But that went really well. There were cookies. There was a cupcake. I got to do a bunch of writing panels, all of which went pretty well.
I miss having Alan Dean Foster,
none of
I will say that.
Yeah, really. I do have a story about the writing guest of honor.
Does it involve cats? I'm willing to bet it involves cats.
I could tell one that involves cats.
No, no, no. Go on. Sorry. Tell the story you want to tell. And tell it the way you want to tell it. You go, Glenn Coco.
You go.
Along that vein, we had a writing advice podcast. We did our Unsheathed last night, which was, I think, a good success, as KM has said.
Mm-hmm.
He has spoken eloquently about it, and I will not... I don't think I have much to add. It's except that we always enjoy doing it here, because this was the first place we did the podcast. We've always had a great audience. We fill the rooms, and people are really enthusiastic.
It's pretty cool.
And so it's pretty cool. It's really nice. Today I was on a panel about collaboration in writing.
All right.
Which is kind of amusing, because I've never published anything collaboratively. I've worked collaboratively with, like, three different people across about 20 years of writing, and all on, like, single projects. But I was on the panel with Elizabeth Ann Scarborough, who's the writing guest of honor, who collaborated on, like, 16 books with Anne McCaffrey. And so she had several great Anne McCaffrey stories, and some of which were amusing. Like, the first time she was collaborating, and Anne McCaffrey gave her a page and or a chapter and was like, here, what do you think about this? And she's going through, and she's like, oh, I want to change this thing. And then it's like, oh, my God, I'm editing Anne McCaffrey. But it was just, it was really cool to hear those stories and talk about publishing. And she's really into self-publishing and indie publishing, because her and some other people have not been treated well by, like, bookstores and mainstream publishers.
Oh, wow.
Bookstores have this thing with mid-list authors where you get into this, what they call, like, the spiral of death, where if they order 100 of your books and they only sell 80, then next time they'll only buy, like, 70. And then if they only buy 70 and they only sell 50, then next time they'll only order, like, 30.
Yeah.
And so it eventually gets down to a point where they're like, it's not worth us ordering these books anymore, when they're creating a situation by ordering fewer each time.
Yeah.
And so she was like, basically in her slightly nicer way, you know, fuck the bookstores, publish yourself, go with small presses, go with indie presses.
Yeah.
But that, it was cool. It was really cool to sit on that panel. People come up and I've signed a bunch of the new book, and people have read it, like, Kario read it in, like, 4 hours and said he liked it. So people have been generally positive about it. And, yeah, I've seen lots of cool people that I'm used to seeing here at Ring First, and looking forward to Sunday.
I don't wanna. Oh, God, Rain First. What do I have to say about Drunken Adventures? I mean, Rainfirst has been fantastic. Let's see, we showed up Thursday?
Yeah, it was Thursday. Yeah.
So we showed up Thursday. I walked in the door, dropped my luggage off, and then we had a party to go to within 3 minutes, because the book launch party was going on when we got from the airport. So we were like, oh my god, run to our room, throw our luggage on the bed, and then turn around, walk out the door again upstairs to go to this party. And then, like, right after that, then we came back to our room and drank our lives away. I was just like, damn.
Yeah, we did.
Girl, we drank so much shit. And it was just, oh, God, I didn't even open my bag until Friday. I was like, oh, hey, I have stuff here. So that was a good start. I was like, oh, well, this is what needed to happen at most of my conventions, especially after that much flying. Oh, Lord. Let's see. Friday. I remember there was drinking.
I sense a theme, honey.
Well, okay, so if anyone listens to Fuzzy Logic, they'll most of my con stories start with, so I was drinking, and this happened. Friday, what's today? Saturday?
Just Saturday.
Okay.
How much have you had?
Yeah.
It feels like Sunday, doesn't it?
It does.
A little bit. Yeah. That doesn't help that we're on a time change, so that's, like, fucking with me.
Yeah, it's like Wednesday in our time.
I know. I'm like, I'm in a whole different year. Like,
time travel.
I know. I've been time traveling all weekend. So, let's see. Friday, I hung out with people, and then I did drag. I decided to drag up
right after we got back from getting more buckets, because now I have 3 buckets. Some year I'll have like 20, and we have a bucket party all together.
I know you dragged late too, because I saw you tweet and it was like after midnight, I think.
Oh yeah, I stayed up on Friday until like what, 4:30 ish.
Oh, wow.
Where these bitches locked me out of the room, and I had to like call every cell phone in the room to try to figure out which one wasn't on silent. And I was just like, well, the door opened, but the latch is on, so I can peek in, but everyone's dead. And I'm like, hello, hello, someone open the door.
Open that door, honey boo boo.
So sorry.
So sorry. But yeah, no, I did drag, and it turned out really, really well, actually. Like, I had a few mishaps because color problems, but... other than that, it was...
I love your description. You were like...
Yeah, I was doing my face, and the brush I was using, the palette, was inside my eyeshadow palette. So I'm rushing... I'm pulling a brush through white to put on my face, and at some point of pushing it through the fucking blush, it went through a green... and then it went through a blue. So I went to go put it on a white part of my face and ended up with this blue and green streak on my foundation. So the only way to get it off was to take my entire face off and redo it all. Because once you put it on there, it's not going anywhere. Because the foundation essentially just eats the color. So, yeah, I wasn't happy. So something that should have taken, like, oh... maybe an hour and a half. Took me like 2.5. I wasn't happy. But yeah, no, it turned out good. I got lots of compliments on it. And other than that, like, we've been drinking and hanging out and going places and doing things and eating Denny's and stripping in Denny's and, you know. Oh, wait.
Stripping in Denny's?
Hearing entertaining stories about people who shall not be named fathers blowing pussy.
Say, oh my god!
No, I really can't name names here, but like it was amazing. Like the entire like room party went quiet like when this was mentioned. Like basically, like his dad went with him to a furry convention,
uh-huh,
and like wound up like, you know, like snuggling on this bed with like this fursuiter. Guy goes back to his conversation. He's like, and then I turn over and just see my dad blowing this fursuit.
Oh my god!
I haven't done that in years.
Yeah, he's like, wow. He's like, yeah. He's like, wow. Like, it's been a long time since I've done that. It's like, well, I mean, I've never done that, but like, it's a long time since I've like gone down on a guy.
Yes,
it was an alternative to our very long Star Wars discussion at the party.
So yeah,
there was so much going on. So many buckets. So many buckets. Because that was like 4 or 5 buckets in at that point. Yeah.
The good thing about drinking out of buckets for a night is when it comes time to drink water before you go to bed, you can just make sure that you have equal bucket volumes of water.
Anyway, yeah, no, my con's been fantastic. I basically told everyone, well, this is what Fiesta would be for me if I didn't sell my soul to it. So it's a lot of fun what Fiesta is if I didn't sell my soul to it. Sell my soul. I love Fiesta. It's great fun. That's why I have bucket.
So, time traveling, huh?
I do.
Which
time
is,
travel.
You know, if we're going to segue, that's our theme next year for Fiesta.
Exactly.
Is a time traveler's ball.
Bucket convention.
So, Rainforest, this is my second year here, and I really enjoy it. It's a very relaxing con. It does remind me of some of the smaller, earlier FCs before MFF got very big. Very similar feel. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love most about it is that it seems to attract a lot of my friends who are back from California. The Texan folks come out here, Canadian folks come out here, and there just seems to be a very good mix of people. And like I tweeted earlier, I always, you know, I've been in the fandom for about 15 years, and every time, every year, I meet somebody new, somebody interesting, and that's kind of why I keep doing this. And Rainforest is a good example of that. Yeah, there's been partying, and we went to The Rock over in Renton, which is a great pizza place. So if you do come to Rainforest, that's a place I would recommend.
To get bucket.
Just go not on a Friday night because it's really busy, especially if you have a large crowd.
They have such good pizza.
Their pizza is amazing. Yeah, it's come to Rainforest, have a good time. That is a, you know, a summation for me. That's about it. I mean, you guys mostly covered everything else.
This con is amazeballs.
You know, Keo and I were talking about it, and we were like, yeah, I think this may have actually become a requirement to come to.
Because we're actually considering canceling Rainforest next year in lieu of some other convention, because we're flipping up our con schedule next year.
Trying something different.
Yeah, and then we just started having so much fun this convention so far, and I was like, damn, it's only Saturday, and I've had, like, an amazing time so far. I was like, I can't believe
it's not already Sunday. It feels like Sunday night. Like,
I'm just like, I really can't give this up.
Yeah, and
technically it is Sunday.
We got a little more time.
For you Dallas people, it is.
Yeah.
yeah, and we kind of both looked at each other. We're like, no, nah, we're coming back next year.
That's what happened with Tyrion. Tyrion last year, we had switched. Like, I'd gone to RF in 2010, and he'd gone to RMFC. And then we swapped in 2011 because circumstances. And I was like, so we're switching back this year, right? I'm doing RF and you're doing RMFC. And he was like, fuck that. I want to do Rainforest again because I had such a good time. So this year we're both here.
Yeah.
So it's a good con. And I knew after 2010, like, I wanted to come back, definitely. So how's it been for you?
I don't know what I can say. I think all of you are witty and I'm just watching the board. Trying to come up with something funny.
God, Tugs, get with it.
I know. This is my first Rainforest, and I love it. Like, this has been what I have been wanting in a con since the Falmont appeared in the world of FC and destroyed it. Not, I'm going to go to FC, but this con feels a lot like FC in the best ways. I think I've been drunk more than I've been sober this con, which is a good thing.
Yes.
It's a common recurring theme.
Oh yeah,
for us.
Oh yeah,
I approve.
I just had a Rain City punch. That's like the only alcohol I've had.
What's wrong with you?
I don't drink much.
We're the alcoholics here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I, you know, a lot of people I wasn't expecting to be here were here, and it was cool. It's nice to see them. What are you doing over there? Are you interrupting me?
No, sorry. Kyle was saying the thing.
He's a stupid bitch.
I'm sorry, at the beginning of my sentence, I dropped the middle of yours.
I'm having flashbacks.
I'm definitely coming back next year. Just have to.
There it is.
Ooh, just throw it out there, Keo. Just whack right on the table. There it is.
Well, that's good that you've had a good first con, I mean.
Rainforest.
Okay, I know it's not first con. Sports
God,
slip.
No. Next year's my 10th FC.
What? Oh. Lord.
I know. I've watched it shrivel and die.
Aw. I have a lot of hope for that convention.
So
because it's been around for so long.
For FC?
Yeah.
How's it shriveling and dying?
I don't know. It just doesn't have the same feel that it used to have, you know?
It, as a person, you know, I lived in the Bay Area for a long time, and as a person who watched it grow, the big bump they hit was the fact they had to move to a hotel, the Fairmont, and that wasn't a good fit, I think. And then you made that huge jump to the convention center. And I think they were simply overwhelmed by the fact that there was so many logistic changes that they have to do. They need another year to work it out.
I think so. Yeah,
and they'll
be fine. The first year at a new hotel is always the hard year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another thing that it is when you go to so many conventions, so many different conventions, you get kind of used to that big con but small con feel.
Right.
Because a lot of the really good conventions I go to are big con with small con feel, like Fiesta, Rainforest.
FWA
has one too.
Yeah.
And it's that feeling where everyone's around and they're everywhere, and you feel like, I've seen everyone, I've socialized with everyone, but there's a crap ton of people here, and how I socialized with everyone, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, when we were walking down the con office, there's this whole other room of gaming going on. It's packed full of people, and it's, like, a ton of people I've never met, never talked to, and it's this whole other section of the convention that's going on, but it's not the crowd of people that I came here to hang out with, so
right.
I don't really notice that there's those other people at this con, but they are, and they have their own con, and they barely notice that I'm here. So
yeah, and con experience is so much about like who you know, who you blow in Roland's case, who you're hanging out with. I'm sorry, I'll leave you alone.
I think I give up at this point.
But, it's very individual like that. You know, if you come to game, like you said, you're in the gaming area. You know, I'm dealing and, you know, some of my friends are here and everything. So.
I just think it's that move to, a convention hotel. Because it's such a different feel because everything is so spread out. AC gets away with it because they have, 4,000 plus people there, and there are people everywhere.
Right.
So you never feel like you're at lack of people. Whereas the new FC hotel, there was a lot of empty space because obviously they couldn't fill up that huge convention center. So it felt like there wasn't as many people you were socializing with because there was hotel expanse. Volleyball hotel.
Yeah.
And there was no good gatherings.
Yeah.
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 That's a huge
one
problem.
One of the two hotels hated us.
The hit lawn?
Yeah. Oh, I heard wow, that's even better. I heard people just calling it the Puritan.
The best thing about Last FC.
They have 13-year-old girls volleyball players dressed up like prostitutes.
Oh my god, right?
Hooker con.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. The best thing about Last FC was this moment where people were all chilling in my room. And, you know, you're complaining about the Hilton because the ridiculous tactics. We ended up photoshopping that picture that got around with where we swapped the I and the T and we put Hitler in the background. And I guess within 5 minutes of us putting that on Twitter, it got onto the PCs they had in the lobby down there. And so it was the background. The staff. Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I will point out that Rainforest is also in a Hilton, and
this is a great Hilton. Though.
There was a little bump last year with the Hilton, and this year they have completely really done a good public relation.
The manager stepped in.
Yeah. They're
to everybody that was registered at the Hilton. The please God come back, or the we understand there were some issues. And
yeah.
We've worked it out.
They've definitely there's a different feel of hey, you know, we really like the fact that you're here.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for a hotel to be doing.
I think we only have to listen to all the people on this podcast talking about how much alcohol they've drunk, much of which was probably from the hotel bar.
They tolerate us, and we love you.
We spend a lot of money at the hotel.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, and another thing with, FC's Hilton Hotel is I was having a conversation with people about it, how I was kind of associating it with the Tower of Terror because of the elevators.
Oh, yeah.
I was legitimately worried that I would get on an elevator and fall, 15 stories.
So,
anyway,
segue.
So, segue to Falling 15. Second section.
It's a good time to stop.
All right.
Cool. Do you guys want to wrap it up here?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess we should close it out. Maybe I'll throw up contact information for your podcast. Just a couple of basics for anybody here that's maybe listening and does not know about all of our various shows. So, Not Cash, you can find or foxstuffers.com is our website.
I love that so much.
On Twitter and FA. That was my terrible idea. And I'll let you cover
sure. The
show. And so, KM?
Yeah, so you can find Unsheathed at furaffinity.net/user/unsheathed. We don't have an Unsheathed Twitter because apparently it's taken already.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Need to snipe that.
Step off, bitches.
But yeah. But you can find my Twitter personal Twitter feed for that is at KM Hirasaki or other me. It's at Rikoshi.
Oh, I'm at Buzzwolf 2000. I forgot to mention that.
I love it when people forget to put the 2000 and they start tweeting to somebody else.
Yeah, occasionally I'll do a search on @FuzzWolf just so I can be like, that's not my Twitter handle.
I have @FuzzWolf added to my Twitter.
Oh, okay. Just in case.
Just in case.
Makes sense.
rolling.
All right. So you can find Unfurled at unfurled.net. My personal Twitter handle is Roland Ferret. Yeah, I mean, aside from that, that's pretty much all. I'm really bad at this right now.
What's Unfurled's Twitter?
Unfurled's, oh yeah, Unfurled's Twitter. Unfurled Podcast on Twitter. Yeah, feel free to add us, etc.
They're Canadian. Eh?
I'm so done at this point.
KM covered all the Unsheathed stuff. We're on iTunes. If you search for Unsheathed, you'll find us. My Twitter is at Kyle Gold, K-Y-E-L-L Gold, and on Furfinity, I'm just Kyle.
Since Istanbul has me trained on this, we're Fuzzy Logic on iTunes. Oh, no, we're Fuzzy Logic Podcast. They always train me terribly. Fuzzy Logic.
My bad.
Rewind. So we're Fuzzy Logic Podcast on iTunes. We're Fuzzy Logic Podcast on FA. We're fuzzy.logic.podcast@gmail.com. And we're Fuzzy Logic Podcast on Twitter. Yes. And my personal Twitter is KYO_Foxtrot.
So, Fuzz, it's been a while, so
it's been a while.
I just have a slight blank here on the whole. Are we at Hoofers at Fur Planet, or?
I think our official show email is Hoofers at Fur Planet.
I believe so as well.
Then you can search for us on iTunes.
Right.
And then there's hoofers.furplanet.com, takes you to the page with the RSS feed.
Right. My personal Twitter is Teal Fox, pretty easy, at Teal Fox.
Yep.
And I promise we're coming back. We just haven't had a time.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
It's not really all his fault, but he's had a busy year.
Yeah.
Blame Teal, it's easier.
Also, I hadn't been a lot of Doctor Who in a while. Anyway.
Yeah, and we have a lot to talk about, we're coming back.
Behind now, so.
And I guess I'm last. For What It's Worth can be found at forwhatitsworth.com. We have Twitter, at For What It's Worth. My personal Twitter is at Tugsy, T-U-G-S-I-E. It's not a Y. I don't know who that is. And we're also on... I know, right? We're on iTunes under For What It's Worth, and we're on Stitcher as well under For What It's Worth.
And you have Facebook.
Oh, I don't run that.
Oh.
There's a facebook.com/forwhatitsworth. I don't know what it's doing. It's not mine.
Did fans start it?
No, Rue doesn't.
Okay. Because
I don't have a Facebook.
We have like a fan group started, not cast fans, on Facebook, and I don't...
Do you go to your conventions?
Huh?
Is there a not cast con yet?
A not con.
Not con.
No, there's not.
Oh, there totally should be.
It's like foxes only.
Sweet, I'm in.
It's my con, Fuzzy Fiesta.
Fuzzy Fiesta. Wow.
.com.
And I'm the guest of honor to con chair and the only dealer.
So perfect world. Wait.
Admission $20. Sponsor membership. Blowjob.
And with that.
Well, on that note, live sort of from May 1st, 2012. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.